This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever your insurance need may be, they will go out and make sure, A, you're fully insured, and B, do everything they can to figure out ways to save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time to welcome in one of the best in the business, and that's Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten Network. Mike, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, and going back to Pittsburgh, I understand.
I will be moving back to Pittsburgh pretty much as soon as the Final Four is over.
That's great. Well, welcome home. All right. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. So I want to start with Zach Edey, because you and I have both seen a lot of him either on video or a lot of him in person. We know what the numbers say, 9.7 fouls drawn per game versus 1.9 fouls that he draws per game. You and I have watched a lot of him. The question now is about how difficult he is to officiate. How do you view him?
You know, Steve, he's no more difficult to officiate than anyone else if you call the game the way the rules are written. It's really
right.
That simple. It's difficult to officiate everybody because the game is fast and powerful and quick and all of that. But you have to look at it that he should be no more difficult than anyone else. And I will tell you that after the game yesterday, I get a chance to speak to Tobe Awaka from Tennessee, who fouled out in 13 minutes. And he acknowledged that all the video prep they did to try to prepare to understand how to defend Edey. He said, once you're out there and you're with him on the floor and you feel that power and size, it doesn't matter how much prep you do. It's just a totally different thing than anything you've ever experienced. And Danny Sprinkle, the then Utah State coach in the second round, and now the coach at Washington as they move into the Big Ten next year, said that it's very difficult to defend him without fouling. It drives opposing fans crazy because they see it and they see that their guy is getting called for a lot of fouls. But the alternative is to back off and let him play. And if you do that, then he's probably going to score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, then you risk putting your players, your big guys, off the floor. So somebody's going to have to make a decision at some point to either zone them or to just go ahead and back away and not try to challenge him physically and see how successful he's able to be in that circumstance.
Yeah, because what people don't understand, you can put an arm into his back, but you can't put two. And every time I see many times I see fouls calls because, look, they're trying to do whatever they can to hold their position. They're using both arms to do it. That's one of the reasons why they're getting called for fouls.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, look, if you look back at the Ohio State game that the Buckeyes won in Columbus, they didn't try to hold their space as much as they tried to attack the basketball.
Yes.
Both with help defenders and also with their big guys. Their big guys, Zed Key in particular, was really effective at attacking the basketball. And so they did have some success in not allowing him to catch the ball, but it was more to them about when he brought the basketball into position, trying to attack it and doing that without fouling.
Because, look, we always talk about big men. When they'll get the ball, they'll balance themselves. When they should just catch and shoot. I'm talking about the catch and shoot plays. And they'll make themselves smaller. He has developed a bad habit. He brings that ball down around his waist, and that's where, like, people are seeing more deflections off of that, because that's one thing you do notice. He has developed that little habit that's allowing people to attack the ball like you're talking about.
He does. Because they are such a proficient three-point shooting team statistically, he does get some space. The teams, and Zach's an excellent passer out of the post, so
yeah.
He does get some space, but He will at times, once he initiates that move, he does allow defenders to come at him, and he needs to maybe on occasion fake that and then get the defender moving and then kick it out behind them for an open three, and then maybe the defender will come more slowly. But right now, he's not doing that.
Go ahead. Braden Smith is the engine that runs this entire deal. The maturity of him as a point guard, now as a sophomore about to become a junior, where's the development you've seen in him?
Well, first of all, he's one of the most serious young people that we've encountered about his conditioning. He takes it to an absurd level, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, but he does, because he knows he has to. And because he does that, he can play a lot of minutes. Because he does that, he's able to rebound defensively for a guy his size at a level that I've seen from very few players. His defensive rebounding is incredible. He's just not the same player that he was a year ago, and that's largely because even though he was very serious about his body as a high school player, he's getting more mature. He's had college training, which, as good as the people were around him in Westfield, and they were great, every day being in college with the nutrition and all of that has been an aid to him. And having been through last year's disappointment, I think really fueled that team. I asked Mason Gillis about this yesterday. I mean, I've watched them play a ton. You've watched them play a ton. The old Spinal Tap amp goes to 11. I mean, they play hard, but yesterday it went to 11. They did not ever relent yesterday. When there was a loose ball on the floor, they attacked it with a ferocity that even as hard playing as Purdue teams typically are, I've never seen before.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I'll tell you a guy that to me typified it yesterday, because sometimes I wonder, is Fletcher Lawyer. That's as hard as I've seen him play. Was yesterday.
I was delighted to see that, because I've known his dad for more than 30 years. His father was an assistant at Cincinnati, then went to work in the NBA, and obviously worked really hard in helping his sons, Foster and Fletcher, become really good college basketball players. And Fletcher had a really tough February last year. And when they played that Fairleigh Dickinson game, he was the one guy that was ready to make shots, but nobody wanted to embrace it because he had been so poor at the end of his freshman year. So then he went through another tough early February, and they played Michigan, and he shot himself out of it. Even though he didn't make shots that day, he became aggressive again, and that's continued on all the way through yesterday. So I got a chance to see his dad and tell him how great Fletch played. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he really was. That's one of the better games I've seen him play. They've got NC State now, and we know there'll be a lot of talk about DJ Burns. I understand that. We'll get to that in a moment. I find the Diarra situation fascinating, because Penn State had a wide receiver years and years ago named Gerald Smith. It was spring practice, so I know in Ramadan what he could and he couldn't do. Well, Diarra, we're in an era where hydrate, except he's not doing that right now. And how interested are you in that and how he navigates that, especially in a game where bigs are going to be so important?
Yeah, it's really fascinating that there were several players in March Madness to this point that had to go through that and had to monitor sundown, and they could get him a power bar or whatever once the once the sun hit the horizon and all of that. It's a tough deal to go through, and I suspect that they will play the first game on Sunday. On Saturday, and I don't know what the rules are on that, though. I will confess. Like, is it sundown where you are? You know, because if it's sundown in your home time zone, that's a whole different deal.
Right, exactly. It is. It's 6:09 as opposed to they're on Mountain Standard Time, which would be 3:09, right?
I don't know what the deal. I don't know what the rules are on that. I suspect it's where you are, which is not good news.
Interesting. How do you view Burns and watching him play?
Oh, I think that he's one of those guys who understands the game at a next level, and really bright, and understands how to use his body, how to use his strength to his advantage. He has a great touch and an astonishing touch. And then he's a great passer, and it's really cool to see. The thing I can't figure out, Steve, is why wasn't this like this all year long? Why weren't they this good? Why wasn't he this good all year long? Because I've seen him before, and I know he's capable of this, but he did not have this kind of year.
And neither did they as a team, because they had no quad one wins until they got to the ACC tournament.
They have played 9 consecutive elimination games. Any game they lost from the start of the ACC tournament was it. If they had lost the final to Carolina, it wasn't, oh, nice job getting the final, we'll put you in. No, they had to win the automatic bid, and they did. And then, of course, like everybody, you don't get here unless you win every game as well. And it hasn't, I thought for a while that some of it was playing that house money concept where they can afford to play loose. But yesterday, in a situation where other teams that have gotten that deep have looked at it and said, oh, man, we're this close. And then they got a little wobbly. They were better when the pressure was on than Duke was, because they were behind 6-8 points as the 10-minute mark approached. And that's when they flipped it and completely turned the game on its head.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on the other side, we'll get to UConn in a moment. Alabama, look, when Penn State played Alabama with Nate Oates as the head coach, Dick Girardi and I in the pregame said, look, there are 3 results he prefers on offense: layups, free throws, 3-pointers. Well, you're watching it play out in real time right now. They hit, 15 of them in winning. Are they going to need 15 again, idealistically, on Saturday against UConn?
Oh, I think that something like that, yeah. I think that they absolutely are going to have to shoot remarkably well. As you saw the number one offense, or number two offense in college basketball, go up against UConn's defense and get completely broken. A 30-0 run by UConn against Illinois on Saturday, so it's going to be hard for Alabama. But one of the things that I loved about that game it was maybe a little bit overlooked by those who don't follow the sport as closely. It was because of the transfer portal and how things are changing. There's always an overreaction to anything that changes in college sports. And so this past summer, I read an article where coaches anonymously were telling a reporter that nobody's going to recruit number 50 to 100 anymore. That if you're a top 75 type player, that nobody's going to recruit you. And so I'm watching Jaren Stevenson on Saturday, the number 50 prospect in last year's class, who was from Chapel Hill, and Alabama took him away from Chapel Hill, go out and go 5 of 8 from 3-point range. Now, his team is loaded with transfers, the guys who are first-year transfers and second-year transfers. And yet, despite that, there's a freshman who wasn't even a McDonald's All-American or top 25 recruiter, whatever, making the difference in an Elite Eight game. I absolutely love that.
Is there an under any, UConn is obviously dissected. Every, you know, it's, people seem to feel they know every facet of the team. But is there something even a little bit underrated about them that people don't often talk about when it comes to what Dan Hurley's doing there?
Yeah, I think the most underrated aspect of this, Steve, is that they are trying to repeat with a different team.
Yes.
This is not what we usually see. If you go back to 06, 07 Florida, they were the identical starting five. They got deeper because they added Maurice Spates to the bench and a couple other guys, but they had the identical starting five, the same group. You go back to the Walton, the Alcindor Wicks era of UCLA, and they were constantly turning over two or three players, but never as much as this team did. They lost 75% of their scoring. 75% of their scoring from last season's team, and yet here they are. And in a lot of ways, you know, I don't know if they're technically better, like if they played each other, whether last year's team would beat this year's team, but they are much more dominant as a team in this season than they were a year ago.
And what's interesting is that because they are a different team, they actually play at a slightly slower pace than last year's team. I don't think a lot of people realize how far back they are in pace, but they also seem to be, with their ball movement in that pace, getting more open shots.
Yes, and that's because there's a number of reasons for that. The first is Tristan Newton. A year ago, remember in February, and this was, you know, it's funny because like the media questioned whether UConn had the point guard they needed. But
that's
weren't the only ones. Dan Hurley questioned for a long time. And they fiddled with Andre Jackson at that position. And then ultimately Newton won the job and carried them, or drove them, I should say. Not carried, but drove them to a national title. And he comes back this year and plays like a first-team All-America. So that's a big part of why they get better shots. And then they have better spacing as well, because as great as Jackson was and Jordan Hawkins was, the spacing they get because of Cam Spencer, who's a more proficient deep shooter than anybody from last year's team. They get more space, so they're able to get better shots. So a lot of that comes from the development of guys like Newton, but also the addition of Cam Spencer and what he's meant.
Because remember, transfers in from East Carolina, UConn actually had for them an up-and-down January a year ago in the Big East. And then, boom, took off when he settled in and he took charge for them. And it made a big difference to all of them, including Sanogo. And, of course, Sanogo's now on the two-way with the Bulls. Hey, Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it so much. Have a great time out in Scottsdale, Phoenix. I'd say Glendale, but the only time anybody goes there is for the games.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks. The great Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten Network. Yeah, Glendale, like for the Fiesta Bowl, we stayed in Scottsdale. It took us like 45 minutes with a police escort to go from Scottsdale out to out to Glendale. And you get to Glendale, and the first thing you think of is, wow, this place is in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, holy mackerel. I did enjoy the story, by the way, from CBS at the top of the hour. Just the one about the tickets for the fun.
Yeah, that they're playing in like playing in 30,000 less
over
seats,
here,
aren't they?
Oh, how about 60?
Oh, well.
It's 78,000 compared to 18. First of all, it's great that the tickets are in demand for the women's tournament. But for goodness sakes, don't be disingenuous about it. Okay? That's why I always... Look, lend some perspective. Number one, it's great. So compare the ticket demand and the price for it at this woman's Final Four compared to last year's Final Four. Don't compare it to the men's Final Four, which has 78,000 seats. and teams don't know who's going to be there. Okay? I know people don't know who's going to be at this year's Women's Final Four, but, okay, it's a little different. It's like you're watching yesterday's. You know what happens when you're at the NCAA tournament? What happens on the second day that you're there? That the teams that lose, their fans sell the tickets to the teams that win. That's how you do it. That's how it works. Right? And there, the demand is higher and the ticket price is higher. Well, I would hope so. There's 60,000 more seats over here. By the way, Aaron Brooks, Hodge Trophy winner, the Heisman of college wrestling. How about that? That's seven Hodge winners now since its trophy's inception. But Aaron Brooks, Hodge winner. We'll come back. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, welcome back to the Monday afternoon edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury for all your game day needs. We just had a nice conversation with Mike Discorsi from the Sporting News about this week's Final Four. Should be a fun weekend. A couple, you know, some real good matchups. I'm interested to see how Alabama fares against UConn. Steve talked about, you know, Alabama's going to have to hit three-point shots and kind of the way they play, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting because I think we talked about before, you know, usually when a team like, you know, when a real, you can hope for a bad shooting night from a real good team, you know, with a chance to win, and you look at UConn's numbers. I think they shot 3 for 23 last weekend and against Northwestern and had no real problems with the Wildcats then. So I don't know if you can bank on a poor shooting night being the thing that takes out UConn. I get the feeling that at this point you're probably just going to have to try and outscore them. I don't know if UConn's going to beat themselves this season. And then can NC State keep the Cinderella run going? That's another thing I'm interested in. You heard Mike and Steve talk about, you know, they wonder why where this was all season from NC State, because, you know, you see the way they play. They've played the last, I guess we're talking 3 weeks now if you go back to the ACC tournament, and you wonder where that's been all year. You know, it's, you know, not many guys can pass out of the post like DJ Burns. You know, we talked about Diao and Ramadan and how, you know, how important he's been. His length and his kind of, you know, that second inside force has been big for them. And I really like the Middlebrooks kid as well, who's given them some, it kind of seems like they kind of try and split the minutes, especially in the first half, between him and DJ Burns to keep them both fresh. And he's been impressive at times in this run as well. The other big thing, of course, tonight is, you know, the big rematch from last year. It's LSU versus Iowa tonight. I believe that's the first game on ESPN at 7 o'clock. That's kind of one I'm looking forward to, just because, you know, Steve and I have talked a lot about Caitlin Clark all year. I've been impressed, been able to watch both LSU games this weekend. And, you know, Flaje Johnson, I think, you know, a lot of people talk about Angel Reese and some of the controversies, surrounding Kim Mulkey the last couple weeks. But I feel like, you know, Flaje Johnson's probably the engine that makes them go. She was real impressive, especially in the first half of the game. Saturday, hit a lot of shots against UCLA. You know, that's a tough matchup, you know, for a lot of teams. Lauren Betts and the Osborne girl are real good, and they did a good job in that third quarter of getting back into the game. They were not playing well and really forced LSU to put together a fourth quarter to win that game. And of course, we know, you know, Iowa had little problems with Colorado on Saturday, and you know. When you see Caitlin Clark highlights, you know, you see all the long shots and the Steph Curry threes, and you know she's the all-time leading scorer. But again, as Steve and I have talked about a lot on this show, her passing is amazing, and she had another 16 assists in the game on Saturday, and I think that's going to be key for, you know, because you know what LSU is going to do, what everybody else does, is going to run a lot of defenders at her, and you know, her ability to find the open person and the open player is going to be huge tonight. You know, all the concentration's been on LSU and Iowa. I think the other game tonight is USC and UConn, I believe it is. And, you know, I think we're seeing two of the more... It's hard to believe a UConn women's team is underrated in this day and age, but I think with the injuries and some of the other problems that they have had over the past two seasons, you know, Coach Ariema missed a lot of games last year between health problems and his mom passing away, and you know, I think if you've read anything, you know, talking, you know, where Gino has talked this year, I think you've seen that's given him kind of a different perspective as a coach, and that's really helped them this season. And I think we're seeing in this NCAA tournament run what the difference a healthy Paige Brückers brings to that team. You know, I think before her knee injury, I think a lot of people forget that she was probably the best player in women's college basketball, and she was the one, you know, Caitlin Clark kind of filled that void last year as kind of the star guard in women's college basketball, and I think people forget how good Paige Brückers is, and I think she's kind of proving that, and I think UConn's probably, you know, is, I would say, a dark horse to win this title. I think most people, if you've gotten a chance to see South Carolina, realizes why South Carolina is the favorite. Cardozo inside is real good. If they shoot like they shot on Saturday, South Carolina does. There isn't anybody that's going to – I don't think there's going to be much doubt who's going to be the national champion. I talked a little bit about UConn before we – you know, when we started this segment about, you know, maybe hoping that they miss shots and that gives you a chance. I think if South Carolina misses shots, that probably gives you a chance. It's going to be an interesting women's Final Four, I think, just because, you know – for good reason, Caitlin Clark has taken up a lot of oxygen in the women's game, and I think there's a lot more parity this year. There's a lot more star players, and I think this Final Four is going to be entertaining regardless of who gets there. So we'll take a break, and we'll be back and to wrap up this show. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student-athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student-athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
So you had to call the suit in to reset everything?
Yeah, the tie line died for some reason. I didn't know that's what happened. He came in and fixed it. I was just talking.
Well, you know what? You know what we need to do? Let's go to Brewers Outlet. All right, stock up for the Final Four weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, as we continue from the Sunbury Motors studio. All right, these are the latest names that went into the transfer portal today from the Big Ten. Dane Danger of Illinois went in. Really? Wow. Scotty Middleton from Ohio State, expected that. Jamie Kaiser from Maryland, expected that. Did not expect Dane Danger. Just like I didn't expect Pharrell Payne from Minnesota to go in. I was surprised when that happened. But Kaiser, I expected. Middleton, I expected. Danger, I did not. Like, really? And Payne, I didn't expect. I was like, wow, I was surprised. But you have to be around the program every day. I'm just kind of reading from just being around the people I'm around just to get a read on people. So those two of them surprised me, two did not. You change coaches, so Pat Kelsey goes to Louisville, right? Well, it didn't take long for Rain Smith, the point guard, to go from Charleston, whom I really liked when I saw him in person last year. I'm like, going, this guy's a good player. He's going to go to Louisville with him. Josh Cohen went from UMass to Arkansas. Those are some of the names that are out there.
I was going to say, kind of stunning, like Tanner DeVries followed his dad to West Virginia.
Yeah, right. Would you expect that? I mean, it's like, you know, it'd be really bad if the but the recruiting visit with the mom didn't go well. It's like, okay, that's not good. Gavin Griffiths. Now, this one surprised me. Gavin Griffiths. Like, there are other people at Rutgers that have gone in. Derek Simpson wasn't surprised. Cliff Amore wasn't surprised. But like, Gavin Griffiths, the freshman, you know, who's about to be a sophomore. He's got something to him, but he put his name in the transfer portal to leave Rutgers. Like, oh, okay. Like Braden Carrington from Minnesota went in. That didn't surprise me. For some odd reasons, you mentioned Tucker DeVries is going to go from Drake to West Virginia. Why? I mean, what is the attraction there? The one that got me was A.J. Storr. I thought he made such a difference with Wisconsin, like bringing a different guy to the table that they didn't have. And guess what? He ended up going into the portal. Like C.J. Wilcher, who's just an outstanding sixth man from Nebraska, he put his name in. Really? Yeah. M.J. Collins, another player at Virginia Tech that I really like. I've watched him play the last 2 years. Right? Every time I watch him play, I'm like, yeah, he's got something to him. Is he a great, awesome, incredible player? No, but he's got something to him. And I liked him. And same thing with Sean Padula. Yeah, a guy that's a really good player. Put his name in. Frankie Collins, who started his career at Michigan, then he went to Arizona State. He's back in the portal. Eddie Lampkin, who was really, I thought, played really well at Colorado, he's in. Joshua Ola-Joseph, who got less playing time as the season went along at Minnesota, he's in, so I'm not surprised he put his name in. But, you know, I look at, like, the names that go in here, like, and some of them are like, yep, makes sense. Nope, doesn't make sense. Really? But it is, you know, you don't know what young people are thinking at this particular point. You don't, yeah, you know, and you also don't know if they sit down and get into a meeting and they have one of those carefrontations. I care for you. I think you need to go. All right. Like Tony Perkins. Now, Tony Perkins to me, not the perfect point guard in the Big Ten, but he's a good player. He's a good player. He'll help somebody, and I think he's going to end up, I think he's going to Missouri. At least it's not in the Big Ten.
I think some of this is NIL as well. I think people think they can get a better, more money elsewhere.
Yeah, I think some of that is. Like Michi Johnson. Now, Michi Johnson went to Ohio State. He was 17 at the time. He reclassified, and he started playing the second half of the season. This is a couple of years ago. And look, he looked like a 17-year-old playing in college basketball against younger men. How about that? So he ended up going to South Carolina. Well, he goes to South Carolina. Now he's in the transfer portal. Okay. It's always an interesting time. I always refer to the transfer portal as the waiver wire. And, you know, there are guys that want to transfer up. I'll give you one. Cameron Stitt, Delaware State. Ooh. This is an awful story. Just came over. Remember Vontae Davis?
Yeah, the defensive back?
Yeah, defensive back. He played for the Colts at one point. And he played collegially. He played against Penn State when he was at Illinois. They found him dead today at the age of 35.
Whoa, yeah.
Whoa, that's an awful story.
Yeah.
Wow. Whew. What the circumstances are, we don't know, obviously. But, you know, it's just one of those where you will say, at least initially, cherish every day. Okay. Cherish every day. And I don't know what the circumstances are. None of us do. It just literally came over now. Whew. Boy. Well, here's one for you. Jamal Mashburn Jr. Started out his career at Minnesota. So he's playing for Richard Pitino. And, of course, his father played for Rick Pitino at Kentucky. Well, when Richard Pitino lost his job in Minnesota, he quickly got the job in New Mexico. Mashburn went with him. Mashburn's now in the transfer portal. Now, who knows when people get to the end. Like, they get to be older, senior, whatever. Hey, they just want to try something out. We'll see. And that could be, you know, that could be it as well, you know?
He did not have as good a season this year as he did last year either.
No, he did not. Connor Asijan, Wisconsin. It was like, oh, wow. Sejan is an exceptional shooter. There's no getting around it. The problem is the rest of his game needs work, and especially on the defensive end. The defensive end needs a lot of work. His shot is beautiful, though. He has a great shot. But he needs to be a, quote, better all-around basketball player. How about that? And let's see. I mean, there's certain, like, Maryland ended up getting a commitment from Rodney Rice, who left Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's going to have a lot of turnover. Kobe Johnson, USC. Okay? He declared for the draft, but also put his name in the transfer portal at the same time.
Okay.
You did see Andy Edenfield did leave.
Yes, he went to SMU. So now, out of nowhere, USC needs a basketball coach. So, football, they have Lincoln Riley. Basketball, they don't know. UCLA, new coach Deshaun Foster, football. They still have Mick Cronin. Same story at Oregon, so they still have Dan Lanning and Dana Altman, and all new coaches at Washington. Interesting times. So I was talking to this about in my sports broadcasting class this morning. I said, I watched a little bit of some of these teams play because I know they're coming into the league. And I said, but now, I said, Danny Sprinkle's now the head basketball coach at Washington. Jed Fish is the head football coach. They're both... The starting lineup for Washington basketball was all senior transfers last year. All. And 16 of the 22 starters on the football team are gone. So, I mean, essentially all new football and basketball teams there. And a new athletic director. That's one of my favorite stories. Troy Dannon. You hear about him? All right. Jen Cohen takes the job at USC as the athletic director. Okay. So they hire Dannon. And he comes in October. And in that period of time, he had to hire a new football coach because along the way, as we all know, Kalen DeBoer took the Alabama job. So he hires Jed Fish. And then he fires Mike Hopkins. And then he hires Sprinkle. And after he hires Sprinkle, he leaves and takes the Nebraska athletic director's job. He was there 4.5 months.
I wrote a story last week that in those 4 or 5 months that he did not make many friends. There wasn't a lot of sad people that he left, I guess.
No, that's exactly right.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Now he's at Nebraska. Now they ended up with Pat Chun, who's leaving Washington State to take the Washington job. A lot of people have Pat Chun in very high regard in athletic director circles. But there's going to be a lot of rebuilding at Washington this year, and the transfer portal is going to be a big part of it for both football and basketball. As they go into their first season of the Big Ten. All right. Fun show. Neil Coulong tomorrow. And yes, Matt Cotrillo will find something about the Yankees to complain about. He'll probably start out with Hassan Reddick going to the Jets. Don't you think?
I think there's little doubt about that.
I mean, he will rail the Eagles on that one.